And welcome to the Sunday afternoon edition of the Steelers Depot Training Camp Call-In Report. And once again, I'm pleased to have back on with me Mark Cabali from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Mark's been gracious enough to do several interviews with us before. I think this is the second one from training camp he's done with us. Mark, welcome back. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's get right to it today. There's been a couple of shocking, I would say somewhat shocking developments today at practice. The word coming out that it looks like they're going to give Tony Hills the start at right guard against the Eagles in this Week 2 game. What's your first thoughts on that?
Yeah, he's definitely going to start at right guard. I asked him flat, point blank, after practice, and he said he's getting the start. He said he was kind of shocked himself. He walked into the meeting room today, and on the board it said, Tony Hills, right guard. And he said, okay, let's do it. So, actually, it's probably not a bad idea. They're just trying to see what their options are right here. I mean, Tony Hills had a pretty decent game, especially for him against the Redskins. But it's kind of weird. Once he has a good game at tackle, they want to move him to guard. He hasn't played much guard at all. I mean, a little bit in practice and maybe a handful of snaps last year in that Tennessee game when everybody seemingly went down with some kind of injury or heat conditions. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to this because Tony Hills has really looked better than he's ever did in practice, and he transferred that into the game the other night. So why not put him at guard, because Chris Scott may have just played himself out of a possibility of playing with what he was able to do on, or lack of what he was able to do on Friday. So I think Hill, this might be a decent thing here. I'm kind of curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I am too. I charted that game the other night against the Redskins, and he looked good at both left tackle and right guard. Now, of course, you know, this wasn't, first team type stuff. You know, it was later in the game or whatnot. He came in at left tackle after Jonathan Scott left, and then, after Chris Scott had 20-something snaps or more, I forget how many snaps Scott had at right guard there. He had quite a few of them, and then Hills came in there. And I thought he did a good job. I had to double-check and make sure the number he was wearing, match that. But it's, I don't even have Hills making a roster right now. Do you think this is just, his last shot here? If he's going to earn a roster spot, he's going to have to show he can work that guard spot against, the Eagles front?
Definitely he's going to have to show something, because they did bring him back this year. I believe he was a restricted guy, and he's absolutely shown nothing in his 3 years. I mean, less than nothing in his 3 years to be a pretty substantial draft pick when it comes to offensive linemen for the Steelers. They were expecting a lot more out of him than they really gotten. So this might be his last hurrah, last chance. And he's not getting beat. I mean, he's not getting overwhelmed. He's not getting pushed back. He's holding his own. And that right guard, I think they're giving everybody an opportunity right now. I'm not sure what Ramon Foster is thinking about right now, but he's probably done nothing to lose that job. But I think they're just trying out and see if there's an upgrade right there. And why not now? It's the best time to do it.
Yeah, my biggest question would be is, if he does make the roster, somebody's got to go that I have penciled in there. And I would think it would be either the rookie Keith Williams, who's more of a left guard, let's face it, Ramon Foster or Chris Scott. To me, I don't think you can keep Hills and those other three. Is this Chris Scott maybe playing himself out of a roster spot here?
Yeah, we have to understand now. Chris Scott, they threw him in here, and he may have been a little bit more blown up by a couple coaches than what he's really done. He's really done nothing. So if you're looking at a roster spot, if he continues to digress like he does on digress or whatever that word I'm looking for, if I was typing, I would know what right word to write. But if he continues to go backward, then that can leave an easily spot to put him on the practice squad for this year. I mean, Chris Scott is a late-round draft pick that has absolutely no tape on him, and I don't believe too many people are up here checking out Chris Scott from the Cowboys or Redskins. So that could be a possibility right there. Chris Scott could be onto the practice squad, and Tony Hills grabbed that spot.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that because Scott is still eligible for practice squad. I don't know how he would take to to that demotion, you know. Like you said, though, I don't think too many people are going to be hungry after him, and it would give him a full freshman-type year, being he was injured last year, you know, to get acclimated on the practice squad and always be there at a moment's notice. So that's a good call by you. We finally had a Jericho Cotchery sighting today in camp. He's all inked up and was in practice. How did he look today?
He looked pretty smooth in what I saw him. I mean, they played him a lot in the slot and a lot of those quick out patterns. And I mean, you realize he just got on campus here a day ago, and they throw him in here, and he's looking smooth. You could tell he's a veteran presence, just how he talked to us. We talked to him beforehand, and he seemed like he thought he was wronged a little bit by the Jets, and he also seemed like he always wanted to come here in the first place just for the organization in itself. And he's looking at this as an opportunity, maybe not as a number one or number two, but definitely as a guy who can contribute some. And day one looked very, very smooth for the guys. So all of a sudden, this receiver core, if you get a 100% Hines Ward back and Emmanuel Sanders back, then you got a bunch of weapons here for Ben Roethlisberger. And Bruce Arians must be licking his chops right now, because that's five pretty decent receivers and a pretty decent tight end to have, too.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about maybe the six. Do you think they're going to keep six again? And if so, with Cotchery joining the roster now, it looks like it's between Arnez Battle and Tyler Grisham. And Battle, as you stated on Twitter, sat out with a knee injury today. Is that knee injury serious, just a little bump or bruise? And do you think who do you think's winning that battle after those three drops that he had the other night?
I think Arnez has a little bit of swelling in that knee, but that's going to be an interesting position, because in the past years, you could pencil a guy in who's a special teams ace who can make this team and contribute, and doesn't really matter what he does on offense. That's what he did last year. However, we got this new rule with this kickoff in, and I think anybody knows what I think about that rule.
Yeah.
That basically eliminates, if you think about it, the kickoff and the kickoff return game. For the most part. Now, do they want to hold a guy's spot just for somebody who's going to cover punts? I don't know. That could be a big thing. This rule might end up costing somebody like Arnez Battle a job, because he's not as valuable as he was last year.
Do you think they would be more apt to just carry five receivers now, or do you think it's safe to say, you know, according to that rule, which I thought that was miserable the other night watching all those games and every ball just sailing out of the end zone? Do you think, you know, they're still locked in to maybe carrying six wide receivers, or do you think that's part of that 53rd roster spot that could go either way?
I think it can go either way. I know in the first couple of years, I think Tomlin would like to go with the five receivers. Last year, I believe they went with six for the majority of the year. And he came in and he wanted the special teams right in, and he thought Arnez Battle would do that, and that's exactly what he did. Like I said, we don't really know if that spot's even valuable anymore. I mean, do we want to hold a guy around just to cover a punt? I really can't answer that right now. I'm not sure which way they're leaning right now, but I tell you, receiver-wise, I believe Tyler Grisham probably would have better upside right now than Arnez Battle. It's probably going to be a question if Tyler Grisham can do the same, some of the special teams that Arnez does. Maybe they do keep six then. But right now, I haven't really went through the roster and marked them down like you yet, the 53, but right now, I would say five right now, but that's just off the top of my head. They would probably get rid of somebody like Grisham and Battle.
Yeah, you're probably right there. I guess the only other real fireworks today was the kind of Cameron Hayward versus Jonathan Scott little tough tussle that they had there. And it sounds like Marquise Pouncey was the third man in. How did all that start, do you think?
Marquise Pouncey seems to be the third man in about every fight. He's such a well-spoken and quiet young man, but you get him on that field, and he has some anger issues. He came in and cleaned it up, and Casey Anthony came in and cleaned it up. But I think all that is Cameron Hayward just showing what type of player he is, and somebody like Jonathan Scott's getting frustrated, because Cameron Hayward is a beast, and he will punch you in the mouth, run you over, and step on you on the way down. I'm not quite sure what really happened on that play, because I was on the total opposite end of the field, but I'm sure 2 weeks of Cameron Hayward pounding on you just probably finally got to Jonathan Scott, and there was a little bit of a tussle with there was probably about 20, 30 guys surrounding him after that. There wasn't much after the first swing or so. So two big men, though. Two big men squaring off.
Before we get to a little bit that happened the other night, and by the way, I'm talking to Mark Cabali, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's also got his own blog up. What did you title that blog up on the Tribune Review? What's the name of it?
It was like After Further Review. Go back, because you know, covering games a lot, it's hard to actually watch the game, especially on deadlines. So I always go back and rewatch the game, and you're able to see a lot of things that you don't see while you're actually watching the game. And just wrote a couple of my feelings down there. I'm sure that a lot of people disagreed, because I'm sure that a lot of people told me on Twitter that they disagreed. But that's fine.
I thought you hit a lot of them right on the head there. You know, Keenan Lewis, I went back and watched the tape as well. I've watched the game, I think, five times through now, and you know, he was all right. You know, it wasn't major. I thought he, what got me was that fourth and one play where he just started taking off and running, you know, turned his back, running with the receiver, and they just, you know, Grossman just threw the quick little, you know, 2 or 3, 4 yard pass there for the first down there. I think sometimes his head's not in the game as far as down and distance and stuff goes like that. But overall, I guess it wasn't too terribly bad. I mean, this guy's got to make the roster, right, just because of the inexperience of Brown and Cortez Allen and, you know, all that concerned, especially now that Ike Taylor and the broken thumb. I mean, he's got to make the roster, right?
I think he has to make the roster just watching people like William Gay play cornerback. I mean, that guy's struggling with the best of them. And then, you have those two rookies that really haven't been on the field much at all. You got Brian McFadden and Ike Taylor have been banged up. I mean, by default, I think the guy has to make the team. I mean, I think he has unlimited potential. He's fast. He's supposedly smart. I mean, you look back at his bio, and he was like all Pac-10 at Oregon State and academically. I don't know if that says anything about the Pac-10 or Oregon State, but I think he does have to get his mind in the game a little bit more. Like you said, that fourth and one, you got to realize 9 out of 10 times they're probably not going deep. So I think they're going to have to expect a lot out of him this year. I think they're going to need him, especially if the other corners keep playing like they are. I mean, Brian McFadden isn't really lighting things up when he's on the field either. And like I said about William Gay, he's more of a nickel guy than anything, so. Honestly, unless one of these rookies come out of nowhere and just really shine, which is really unusual and under Mike Tomlin, you don't see that other than last year with Pouncey. But unless all those guys shine, I think you have to have Keenan Lewis around, and probably he will play some, especially on special teams and maybe some situational packages too on defense.
Yeah, I agree on that most definitely. I tell you, Cresden Butler seems like he can't stay healthy too. I was looking forward to watching a lot of him the other night, but he didn't get a lot of snaps. It ended up being Donovan Warren, and as you mentioned today on Twitter, boy, I bet Ryan Mundy, I bet he really wanted to soak in the tub when he got home with the amount of plays that he played the other night, because, I mean, they were just decimated at safety. Was there any word on Will Allen why he didn't play?
No, there was not any word whatsoever. I didn't see him at all today during the time we get him in front of the cafeteria. I did see him on the field, but I'm not quite sure what happened with him. I guess we're going to a good thing to follow up on. It couldn't have been anything too serious because he was back out there today.
Okay, good. It was a lot of young guys, and it looked like they weren't very prepared. And I think I read where, you know, people are saying maybe it was just a lack of preparation and hitting, you know, early on in camp these last couple weeks here that led to it. I think all that will change this week. They've got a tough foe in the Eagles who really looked pretty decent the other night against the Ravens there, so this will be a good test. Name me the two players on the defensive side. You know, we had a few things that looked good on the offensive side of the ball against the Redskins. Name me maybe two players that really, really stuck out to you the other night. I don't want to give away your whole blog up post up there.
Definitely Morty Ivey, a first-year guy out of I forget where he went to school at now. Where'd Morty Ivey go to school?
I'm trying to remember, too. There's so many of these daggum kids. Keep talking, and I'll look it up
West
for
Virginia,
you.
West Virginia, my fault. West Virginia, he's a local kid here. He went to Gateway High School, which is about 10-15 miles east of Pittsburgh. He's a quarterback there, but this kid is really, really flashing here. He's got speed. He has size. He has power. only thing not in his favor is the numbers. I mean, he's an inside guy, he's a Mike guy, and Steelers are pretty stacked right at that position right now with the guys they have, with Timmons and Ferrier and Sylvester and Foote behind him. So there just might not be a spot for this guy. But I'm liking what he's doing on defensive. The other defensive player, I like Donovan Warren. Donovan Warren showed up a little bit. Not a first-year guy. I believe he's out of Michigan. Was in a camp last year. He's a guy that's flashed some, and he's just a typical young guy. He plays well at times, and he gets lost at times. I think he played pretty decent in a pretty extensive role against the Redskins. So those are two guys that probably are not going to make the team, but probably have a good chance of making the practice squad.
Yeah, in fact, today I released my new 53 post the Redskins game, and I've got Morty Ivey going to the practice squad now. I thought maybe the guy like Mario Harvey might, you know, be that type guy initially, but you know, he can't seem to stay out of the tub, and I think he is finally back to work a little bit today, from what I understand. But yeah, this Ivy kid, I think he'd be great practice squad material to groom, and in case if you need a special teams guy, maybe down the line he might be it as well. So, well, Mark, I don't want to monopolize too much of your time once again and all, and your coverage on Twitter, let me tell you, has been outstanding. You, Scott Brown, all the guys. Yeah, I mean, it really makes it being like you're right there with them. And, you know, we appreciate that. And I know people like to hear these call-ins and all. I appreciate you taking time out and do it again tonight.
That's cool. It looks like a thunderstorm's rolling in here in Latrobe. So I don't think we're going to get on the actual grass field again, I guess, for another couple of days. So I better get in before the lightning strikes me.
I hear you. Thanks for your time, Mark. I'll talk to you on Twitter.
Hey, take it easy.
All right.